בוקר טוב, ערב שבת שלום, גשמק המייס, השתבח שמה ברוך השם. ערב שבת, פרשת שמות. שמות begins the galut and geula of Am Yisrael. So, it's these are always very exciting parashiyot. Yeah, but the shi'abud meaning, shi'abud Mitzrayim really starts this week. So, tonight, Len Shabbat, we have a very interesting occurrence in that today is, or tonight and tomorrow is really Edehin Shem of the Kochavim. It's their Chag. So, Shiyeh. And there's a bracha that we make, Bezat Hashem, when Avodah Zarah is Ne'aikar, Me'eretz Yisrael, Baruch, Oker Avodah Zarah Me'artzen. And then if a bit of Knesset is rebuilt, the Gemara says in Brachot, Baruch, Matziv, Gevul Almanah. There's different things. Bezat Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yitahir Et Ha'aretz, Ve'yutzi Avodah Zarah.
And
so they built
a
bit of
Knesset where a church was?
In, yeah, apparently
their population went up by 1.2%
this year. So tonight we have Edehin. It's a holiday that they celebrate. Now Baruch Hashem, this year it comes at Belen Shabbat, Yom Shabbat, so you have the Kedushah of Shabbat to counteract the Tum'ah of the day. Obviously, Chazal discuss the actions of what led up to the, I guess, departure of Oto Ha'ish from Am Yisrael, which is, it's recorded in the Gemara Masechet Sotah, and it started off, by the way, the reason why we're still suffering from it from today is because the Gemara says that there was not enough of a Yamin Mekarevet towards Oto Ha'ish. There was too much of a small Docha and not enough of a Yamin Mekarevet. So if there was a little bit more Yamin Mekarevet, we could have avoided that. The Gemara says another story at home. Meod, small docha bin Mekarevet, Yechazi, Alach, Tzavodah Zarah. Ooh, wow, Yishtabach Shemo, wow, it's all the boys. All the boys, Yishtabach Shemo.
Tadarabah.
Baim.
That's it, the Baim, Tzavodah Zarah.
Yishtabach Shemo, Baruch Hashem. I feel like a reunion.
Yeah, it's a legal holiday.
Baruch Hashem, Yishtabach Shemo.
It's really
a reunion.
First
night. Yeah, it's not illegal anything. It's Avodah Zarah.
It's a reunion of the first.
It's the 24th.
First,
yes, today is
the Shema Elohim, Acherim lo tizkiru, lo yishama al picha. Lo hu, ve lo ha'chag shelo, ve lo ha'yom holedet shelo, ve lo ha'ptira shelo, she'ilech hu, lo yoda. No mishanei. Aval, mikol makom, so we have, there is what to be said. Even G'dolei HaMekubalim speak about the Tum'ah that manifests itself on this day. Now, because of that, I also want to preempt the shir by saying that anything that's minhag Yisrael for dore dorot that's brought down by sofrim u'sfarim, you can never, ever, ever mak a minhag. Not allowed to mak a minhag. Minhag Yisrael Torah. Now, whether or not we observe the minhag is a totally different story altogether. Aval, to be mezalzel or to mak a minhag, unless it's a minhag shel shtut, unless it's a minhag that doesn't have yesodot beharei kodesh, that wasn't started or condoned by Chachmei Yisrael, that's a different story. Huh? Everybody knows the famous Rivash and Tashbetz that Maran Zichrono Livracha quotes all the time. Minhag zotiot gehinam. Yeah, echol liot minhag that if you break the minhag zegehinam, echol liot minhag that if you keep the minhag zegehinam. So you have to the gauge to see if a minhag is minhag tov or minhag shel shtut, is to see where it originated from. Who was behind it? Chachmei Yisrael or no? Or was it some, you know, old wives' tales, many minhagim, they originated from the goyim, from Arabs, there's all sorts of stuff like that. So you have to be doresh v'chokir.
Somebody's grandmother saw something.
Yeah, something. You know, the grandmother saw something by the Arab neighbor, so all of a sudden became a family minhag. Is that called shtut? You have to know. You have to be, it's, and by the way, it's not considered taboo to look into the origins of the minhag. Zeh beseder. You're supposed to do that. Look into it. Bidoresh. You'd be surprised. All sorts of minhagim, where they come from. Very interesting thing. That's why we have all sorts of sfarim called ta'amya minhagim, minhagim ba'alacha, all sorts of different sfarim that bring down, you know, interesting minhagim and tell you what they're, where they originated from. So there is a minhag in Am Yisrael. I'm not going to say that there's not in all kehilot, but there is a minhag in quite a few kehilot, the Am Yisrael, that on the night, it's called nitol. And by the way, I actually read up a little bit about this last night. I'm sure you've heard Nittelnacht. Yeah. Now, there's a whole section on Nittelnacht in Sefer Nittei Gavriel by Agon Gavriel Tzinner. He's one of the poskim. He's a Hasidish Pesach. Yeah, he's in Bar Park. Anyway, Gaon Gadol. So he's very into minhagim. So he has on his Nittei Gavriel Chanukah in the back. He has a whole section, a few prakim on Nittel. He even sources some Rishonim Talmidei Rabbein Yonah that refer to that night as Nittel. There's a big machloket among the poskim that mention it. When is Nittelnacht? Some actually refer to it as the night of the 25th of December. The night before the 25th of December.
Tonight.
Lil.
Tonight. Yeah.
Because remember, where are they getting this stuff from? Yeah, they call it the Eve of, because remember, they get it from him. Oto ha'ish haya Yehudi. And by the Yehudim, all Chagei Yisrael, all Mo'adei Yisrael, everything starts by Erev Vayivokim. So it's the night of. Some say it's the eve of January 6th. Some say it's the eve of January 7th. Yesh gorsim kacha. When did it actually, by the way, and it only became December 25th within the past 100 years. You know that. It used to be observed in Europe. There's machloket over there, machloket lahavdil, machloket aposkim benahem, January 6th, January 7th, when they celebrated. Only here, in the past 100 years or so, Mikey, so there was they started doing it, the popes and whatever, they started doing January 25th. We're going to get there. So, murgila befumayu de'inche, most people will tell you that what the goyim are celebrating on that night, day, whatever it is the birth of Otoha Ish. Yeah. The Gemara, by the way, also talks about, not only the Gemara and Sotah, the Gemara and Sanhedrin, that speak about the life and times of Otoha Ish. Now, there's another Chuvan Yabi Alman, I'm not going to tell you about that now. There were several Yeshus in history. There wasn't one. There were several. Yeah?
They're all bad?
Well, they're all bad. But the question is what exactly they're celebrating. We know that the Yeshua Nutzri, why is it called Yeshua Nutzri? Nutzri Minashon? Huh? No, forget about that. But Nutzri is Minashon Natzeret. He was born in the city in Eretz Yisrael called Natzeret. It's in the north, like Satveria.
You know. Like the Trinity.
No, that's a different Minashon Nazareth. He was born from Nazareth. Yeah. So, aval mikol makom, the Yeshua Nutzri that we speak of is Talmido Shel Rabbi Yoshua ben Perachya from the Zugot, even preceding Hillel HaZaken. Yeah. So that we know. Mikol makom, the Shaila is this minhag. It's especially prevalent among Hasidim not to learn Torah on Nittelnacht. Now we're going to see exactly the parameters of the minhag and why it came about that there is such a minhag. Now again, even though we don't have such a minhag, again, it's not something to bash. And even I'm going to show you, even Manan Zechon Brachan Yabi Omer and Hanichot Olam Chalek Chet, where he speaks about it, he doesn't bash the minhag. You'd never bash a minhag Yisrael. Just what? He's going to say, is it not minhag any? So, but Nachon. So, first and foremost, there is a Gemara, everybody knows, the famous Gemara in Menachot of Samache. There's a gentleman by the name of Ben Dama. He was Ben Achoto Shel Rabbi Yishmael. Who's his nephew. And he says, I know Kol HaTorah Kula. Am I allowed to learn Chochmah Yevanit? He asked his uncle. He wasn't exaggerating. He learned and he mastered Kol HaTorah Kula. So he says, am I allowed to engage? Am I allowed to learn Chochmah Yevanit? So he told him, famous words. He told him, קרא עליו את המקרא הזה, לא ימוש ספר תורה זה מפיך, והגית בו יומם ולילה. He says, צא ובדוק שעה שאינה לא מן היום ולא מן הלילה, ולמוד בה חוכמה יוונית. He says, if you can find the time of day that is neither יום nor לילה, then you can learn חוכמה יוונית. What's that? But בין השמשות is not neither nor. What is it? Well, it's a ספק of either or. It's either one, possibly both. So there comes a huh? No, that's Minayom.
The answer is never, no?
He meant to tell him, it was a diplomatic way of telling his nephew, no, you're not allowed because there's a chiyul to be hoge batorah at all hours, waking hours of the day and night. Now, there's many, many such drashot in Chazal that a person always has to be cleaving to the Torah, kamuvan. So if that's the case, why is it? Where did this minhag of nittel come from? Now, what does nittel even mean? So there is, I saw a few different things what nittel means. Nittel can mean that milashon nital, that this was the night that Yemach Shemo was either born or whatever, he was nital chelik me'am Yisrael. He was completely removed. His chelik of Am Yisrael, he removed it that night. Nital, taken out. Some say it's an acronym in Yiddish. Nita Gabriel also says, very interesting. It's an acronym in Yiddish for Yid Tor Nisht Lernen.
What? How do you get the, what's Yid, the first nun?
No, it's out of order. It's mixed up. A Yid, yeah, Yehudi, Tor Nisht.
No Torah.
It's, he should not learn. Lo ilman. It's a very interesting, a lot of cute stuff over there. Aval mikol makom, Ta'amei HaMinhagim writes, yeah, I'll read to you what he says, very interesting. He says that, B'shem Likutei HaPardes, he says it used to be customary back in Europe that on this night they used to get all drunk and crazy. So when Jews would walk through the street after learning Torah and Bet HaMidrash and whatever, they would massacre Jews. That's what they would do. So I guess Chachmei HaDorot over there, they made a takana that a Jew, there should not be makil keilot barabim of Torah learning. Yeah. I'm coming. Yeah, so that's a very good point. I'm going to get there in a second. So they made this thing in order to protect Jews that they shouldn't be engaged in public Torah study, and therefore everybody should stay home. Maran Zichron Bracha in Yabiyah Omer Chelek Zayin Siman Kaf in Yoreh De'ah Zach. Yeah, so he says, that makes sense. Two questions on this thing. Number one, nowadays, obviously, that's not the case anymore. Baruch Hashem, you know, not that anti-Semitism isn't on the rise and attacks against Jews, whatever, but you don't see per capita more attacks on Leil Chagam than any other night of the year. You know what I'm saying? And number two, that minhag maybe was good just to tell them, okay, don't congregate in Batei Knesiyot and Batei Midrashot on that night. But why does that exempt a person from sitting at home and learning alone? Says, you want to tell me not to come to Bet HaKnesset? Okay, fine. But what's the, when you're sitting at home, what's the problem with sitting and learning? So that's a few questions that he asked me. Now, the Yabi Omer quotes another, he quotes the tzaddik from Dinov. Yeah. So he says, in the Sefer Regel Yishara, he must be related to the Bnei Yisachar. Bnei Yisachar was the Tzvi Elimelech Midinov, Talmud of the Chozem Lublin. So he says over here, that's the night that Yeshu was killed, Shu Klipat Orev. And therefore, in order not to mention Klipat Orev on this night, we don't want to give it any koach, which is very, and there he says, Magide Emet. I guess Rabbanim used to say that there were several times that they used to learn this night, and dogs appeared at their front doors. It's a interesting mystical zap. Now, what's interesting is he says that this is the night that he was killed, which would seem to be a little conflicting. There's a Gemara in Sanhedrin that says that Oto Ha'ish was killed by Sanhedrin on Erev HaPesach. So again, it could be, once again, in order to, there are many, many contradictions.
He was killed by Sanhedrin.
He was killed by Sanhedrin on Erev
Pesach. But their history says he wasn't killed by Jews now. Yeah, for many years they claimed he was, and they were Moser.
Mitat Beddin.
Mitat Beddin. No, Mitat Beddin. Aval, Tliya be Mitat Beddin. Or Niskal, Niskal, and then he was Niskal. There are many historical discrepancies here. Now, like I told you, the Abi Omer goes through a lot of them. He avoids it by, no, not in this one. There's a different one where he speaks about the different Yeshus that there were throughout history. So that's another thing. Now, especially this minhag of not learning on Nittel is very, very kept, especially among Chabad. Chabadnikim are very makpid not to learn Belon Nittel. They usually, they're very, they, you know what they usually do on Nittel instead of learning?
Chess.
There's a famous picture of the Rayats, of the previous Lubavitcher Rebbe, sitting down and playing chess on Nittel now. Famous thing.
Is there a Lubavitcher Rebbe right now?
No, I'm not sure.
What do you mean? Why did it stop?
Yeah, I don't know, because he didn't have any children.
He didn't have any
children.
So they're not going to have any more of
the current, I mean, the The last Lubavitcher Rebbe was the Chatan of the previous one. That right. Anyway, Mikol Makom, so listen to this. So he writes, there's a tshuva from the Admor B'Lubavitch. He says like this, listen carefully. He says, Noagim shelo lilmot Torah b'leil ha'molad shel oto ha'ish. So he obviously argues on the pshat. No. The last Admor B'Lubavitch. Yeah, Rav Nachman Mendel. Yeah. Well, there's two Rav Nachman Mendels. The Tzemach Tzedek was also Rav Nachman Mendel.
The third one.
Anyway. Huh? So he says, so he calls it the night that he was born. Not like the Tzadik Midinov who said that it was the night that he was Nehera. So that's already Machloket Benehim. He says, V'nikba ha'layla al pi aluach shel ha'notzrim. He says, this night you go by the Goyish calendar. V'atam kede shelo le'amshich chayut dikdusha be'oto ha'ish of holchim b'shitato ata. When you learn Torah, that infuses the world with a certain kind of strength, with a koach dikdusha. Now, if you learn it at that time, that koach of kedusha can be hijacked by oto ha'ish v'talmidav to boost their thing. Now listen. V'lachen etzel Yisrael adarim b'mdinot ha'ishma'ilim en minhag zeklam. It says, therefore, there's no such minhag among Middle Eastern and North African Jews, because by and large, what was the religion over there?
Islam.
There was Islam. So Islam doesn't have these things. So over there, it makes perfect sense why there was never such a minhag.
The
says,
cloth of Tum'ah can't hijack it from another country?
I knew that.
You didn't have a minhag.
No, there was no, never such a minhag.
The question is, it's Torah
Kedusha. The Admor says, Bevadai, Bitul Torah is a big thing. It's a chidush that you're able, you're allowed to be mevatel Torah. So he says, we'll only go with the chidush. V'lachin en levatel ela laila echad, v'gam balaila hu en noagim ken ela ad chatzot. The minhag that he says among the chassidim is only be'otah laila. And he says also in this tshuva, although there's a machloket, what night exactly, you know, the night of the eve of the 25th or the 6th of January, the 7th of January, he says, you go by mekomo zmano, whenever they're celebrating. So over there, that's when you do it, but only until Chatzot. That's one thing. There's another tshuva from the Chatam Sofer. Very interesting. You know, you don't have to tell these Gdolei Olam about the importance of learning Torah. You have Gdolei Olam. It's also brought down b'shem Meharsha, that the Yitzhak Gibrael brings down a tshuva from the Meharsha that he also didn't learn Torah. Leilena Molad. Meharsha. Gdolei Olam. The Chatam Sofer writes in the tshuva here. It's brought down Shut Chatam Sofer. He says another reason. He says he says also that they had the minhag not to learn on nittel. But listen to what he says. Very interesting. He says because in general, Jews when they learn Torah balayla, in general they learn the first half of the night, and by chatzot they would usually go to sleep. But on this night, what happens? Like you spoke about before, they have the minhag of midnight mass, which means what? That they're staying up from Chatzot onward. I don't know if it's all night. I don't know how long it takes. But they have services from midnight and on. He says this gives the Satan an ability to be Mekatreg. The Satan can come and say, look, Amisan was learning Torah, but they stop at Chatzot, they go to sleep. Look at the Goyim. When they worship, they stay up from Chatzot all night long. So in order, says the Chassam Sofer, in order not to give the Satan Makom Lekatreg, he says, the minhag is not to learn the first half of the night at all. You do other things. You deal it seems like from everybody, even according to the minhagei Chabad, the minhagei Chatam Sofer, and others, it seems like they would learn after midnight anyway, or at least just go to sleep, whatever it is. Many admonim, by the way, on this night. It's a very interesting. I don't remember which rebbe's, but it's a minhag by several admonim. That they cut toilet paper for Shabbat for all year long Shabbatot on this night instead of learning.
That's so funny. Wow.
Yeah. So.
Oh, what do they do if it falls out on Shabbat?
So that's the issue. Okay. When it falls out on Shabbat, so certainly you can't do the toilet paper thing. No, but also, what about the chess thing? There's a famous Magen Avraham and other poskim that Aser playing chess on Shabbat. It's machloket.
How old is chess?
Chess very is old. Very. It's ancient. Yeah.
So what about, why don't we say maybe it counteracts? I mean, she was celebrating Shabbat anyway.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like our Kedusha as well.
Yeah. No doubt. I mean, they didn't, they those who observe this minhag.
Who was 6th century?
I saw that. I don't remember where I saw it, but I saw it brought down. It was minhag of several admorim gedolim that they do this. For the whole year's worth of Shabbatot. Yeah.
They have a sweater, no toilet paper in it.
Aval, mikol makom rabotai tekshivu tov. Now, over here, it would seem that you shouldn't play. Now, whatever you want to do tonight, you want to sing Zmirot Shel Shabbat, for those who have the minhag, I'm just pointing it out for a second. Now, again, the Chasam Sofer, he said his thing that it creates makom of kitrug, for the Satan to prosecute against Am Yisrael. There is basis for that from the Zohar HaKadosh, the famous Zohar that says that the worst possible sin that Am Yisrael can do is talking Beit HaKnesset. Why? Because anytime Am Yisrael sins, I've spoken about this before. Yeah. Anytime Am Yisrael sins, the Satan comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu and he says, Banecha chat'u, look, Am Yisrael is sinning. What does Hashem counter? Look, where did they learn it from? Look, the Goyim also do it. They learned it from the Goyim. It's your Goyim right? Remember, the Satan, the Samach Mim, he said, Oshel Aisav. So he says, it's your people who taught my people the wrong stuff. And every Avera that Am Yisrael can do, Hashem always deflects the Satan. He rebuffs him by saying this. There's only one Avon that Hashem can't deflect the Satan, says the Zohar HaKadosh. What's that? When the Satan comes to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he says, Am Yisrael, look, they're speaking Batek Nisiot. When they're speaking during Tefillah, Hashem can't tell them anything. Why? Because if you look at the Goyim, look at them, not, again, they have much shorter services and it's only once a week, whatever. But you ever see Goyim during their services? And mamash, quiet and respectful, v'zeh, and kavyachol, Hashem has nothing to tell back to the Satan, and that's when we get it for all of the other avirot. So that means that sometimes certain things that the goyim do that Am Yisrael don't can create a tremendous kitrug on Am Yisrael. To be so careful. Yeah, you have to. That's why b'emet. In last week's, I happen to like it. It's part of my own Shabbat, the Torah Wellsprings from the Rebbe of Menlo. So he brought down. He had a whole section in last week's parasha about not talking in shul. Now, I say this all the time. I think that people who talk in shul, especially post-COVID, when we had shuls shut down for X amount of months and then we came back, I think for people to go back to their bad habits and talk in shul, I think a person has to be sick in the head. It's off the record, but, it's on the record, but, it's
off topic.
Huh? No. I really, there's got to be something really wrong there. And that's why, in my shul, especially when I see people, Baruch Hashem, we don't have that much, but when I see a person talking in shul, I give them a look of horror because it's a really horrifying thing to see. It's horrifying.
I would not want to see that.
No, it's a look of horror because it's mamish.
About the divorce done, not about like the Torah.
Even the Tzorach HaTfilah, the Shulchan says Meforash. Maran says Meforash that you're not allowed to even speak the Divrei Torah. Ben Gavra le Gavra, between the Aliyot of Sefer Torah.
So, well, I only preached once. I didn't pay attention to asking.
Did
we say Tachanun?
Same as it. That's not called talking. Yes, Lom Shene. Aval Mikol Makom. You have to understand. The Isur is bad enough as it is. I'm not talking about talking during Sefer Torah and talking during Chazarat Hashatz, about which the Shulchan Aruch says Gadol Avonom Min Neso, and speaking in Beit Knesset, which the Zohar Kadosh writes in Parashat Truma, She'en Lo Chelek Be'Elohei Yisrael. A person proclaims, when a person speaks in shul, he's saying, I have nothing to do with God. Hashem is not my God. Those are the words. When you speak in Beit HaKnesset, the words coming out of your mouth are, I am not part of Hashem's nation. Zohar Meforash, Parashat Truma. So, and not only that, the sin in and of itself is so bad because now it fuels the prosecution of the Satan against Am Yisrael, which is kind of mashal to what the Chatam Sofer is saying now about this thing. That's why in Torah Wellsprings, he said a story last week. He says that in one of the shuls in Yerushalayim, there was an elderly gentleman that had a problem controlling his mouth during tefillah. A problem, an asot. Yeah, he kept on talking. So it was a no-talking shul. Yeah. There are certain shuls that it's a Kiddush Hashem. There are certain shuls that you walk into, people know this is a no-talking zone.
Yeah.
The Kiddush Hashem. You don't talk. You don't talk during the tefillah.
Even outside tefillah, no talking allowed.
So, yeah, the So this elderly gentleman, he mamash couldn't stop. Gabai came over to him, you know, spoke to him nicely, please, whatever. And, you know, maybe he stopped for a little bit. He just went right back to his ways. And then they started maybe positive reinforcements like they do in preschool, maybe get a prize, maybe, you know. And then they started negative reinforcement, you know. There's such things. You have to give knesot every time you talk. Yeah, there's a shul I know in Queens. Shul, very interesting. Ashkenazi shul. If your phone goes off in the middle of tefillah, if your phone goes off, you're chayav. If you walk into the shul, you accept this tonight. Your phone goes off once during tefillah, $5 into tzedakah.
That's
kishma.
Or if you answer.
Huh?
Or if you answer the phone. I've seen people do that.
It's a... Yeah. It's a bizayon, bizayon. Sometimes, sometimes people during tefillah, it's not enough that the phone goes off. And then sometimes in the middle of Amidah, I see this sometimes, a person takes it, or starts talking. Bizayon she'en kedugmato. What a bizayon shel Ashkina Kedosha, Bet HaKnesset, Bet HaMidrash. And I said a pshat yesterday to Rabbi Cohen, he liked it very much. David HaMelech writes in Tehilim Kav Zayin. Everybody knows. In David Hashem Rabbi Shi, David HaMelech says, what's his tefillah? He says, Achat sha'altim et Adonai ota avakesh. Shivti bevet Adonai kol yimechayai lachazot benom Adonai bevakeh v'echano. He says, let me sit, let me dwell in the house of Hashem my whole life. What does it mean to dwell in the house? Why do you call house of Hashem? You know what it is? Remember, David HaMelech is asking for a lifelong request. Hashem, give me the ability to stay in Bet Hashem. Why is it called Bet Hashem? Hashem, not only do I want the ability to dwell in your house for my entire life, but throughout my entire life, even when you give me that zechut, I want Hashem for you to help me always realize, never to forget that it's always Bet Hashem. Because human nature is that when you're in a place too long or very long, you start to get used to it. So then David HaMelech was afraid, maybe it's going to become Shifti Beviti, maybe it's going to become my house. You get a little comfortable, you answer the phone, you take a call, you take a zeh. He says, not only do I want to be Shifti in the Bet HaKnesset, Kol Mechayai, Shifti Bevet Hashem, let me remember every moment of my life that I'm here, that it's still Bet Hashem, nothing changed. The Shifti Bevet Hashem. Now, Nizkor, it's good. You know, it's good to feel connected. It's good to feel like our house too. But first and foremost, Hashem says, you're guests in my house. And when you're a guest in somebody's house, the host wants you to feel comfortable. We also have to follow the rules. Yeah? Kol ma she'omer lecha halacha. Kol ma she'omer lecha ba'al ha'bayit, aseh. Chutz mitzeh. But if you're talking in shul tzeh, ze be'emet kacha. Yeah? Now.
The proposal of that is that he wanted to learn forever?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, they came to Shlom Zalman. They said, well, we don't know what to do anymore. This, you know, this guy, and he's an older man, you know, kavod, especially, I don't know, by Sfaradim, kavod, the zekinim is, it's mitzvah aseh in the Torah, v'adar tepin is zekin. Yeah? But this guy was just running his mouth and he wouldn't stop. So I asked Shlomo Zalman what to, so he said, maybe try this, maybe try that. And the Gabbai told him, we tried everything already. Right? We spoke to him, you know, positive reinforcement, punishments, fines, whatever. It doesn't work. Shlomo Zalman thought for a second. Said to him. He says, the next time he talks, go up to him and do a slap. Give him a punch. He said, the Gabbai looked at it. And this is Shlomo Zalman, Gdol Ador, he was so sweet, so gentle. Everybody, you know the trademark picture of Shlomo Zalman with the smile? Always, what a beautiful smile. Adin Nefesh, Atzil, he was so royal and gentle and sensitive. And he said, whack the guy. He said, Rebbe? He says, what? Violence? Yeah. Obviously, we're not doing that today. But that was what Shlomo Zalman told him, I don't know, 50 years ago in Yerushalayim. He said, let me ask you a question. He says, let's say you see an old guy, old, you know, respectable-looking guy coming to Bet HaMidrash with an axe or with a chainsaw. And he starts, you know, chopping the tables, breaking the furniture, setting stuff on fire. What are you going to do to him? You're going to talk to him nicely? You're going to tell him, no, you know, maybe not? He says, no. So what about kavod, 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 nachon, old man, kavod, kavod? He says, no, but he says, it's no different. Because when you talk in shul, you're destroying the shul, not only spiritually, but physically as well. He says, because experience has shown throughout Jewish history, the shuls where people talk get destroyed.
Don't last.
Yeah, they get destroyed. So he says, you have to look at this guy as a terrorist. And so he said, Rishon is Alman. Pusakadur. Aman, that's what you do. It's a big zach. Anyway, Mikon Makom, that's why if you see a person talking in shul, so nicely, people don't like shushers. Oh, people get all nervous when you shush them. Why?
You just go straight to the slapping.
Anyway, the kitzur.
I would have said to just stop the whole tefillah and have it go and walk out.
It's a very dangerous thing. Rav Avigdor Miller, Alav Shalom, used to tell. There's a person who got a famous story. Got diagnosed with cancer.
And the post on
the call. Yeah. That's a famous story. Right. So he went to Rav Avigdor and he asked him. He says he told him kach v'kach, and he was very distraught. He didn't know what to do. So he said, "Where do you pray?" So he told him kach v'kach makom. So he said, "Do they talk in shul over there where you pray?" So he says, "Unfortunately, yes, they do." So he says, "You need to leave that shul immediately. Never turn back. Never walk back in ever again to that shul. Go find yourself a shul where they don't talk, and you'll see yeshuot." That's what he told him. And he did that, and the cancer went away. It was a pretty aggressive form of cancer. It was like a very, very important thing. So, mikol makom. So this is what the Chassam Sefer says. Maran Zichron Bracha, in Yabia Omer, has a few questions on the Chatam Sofer. And he says, especially in what the Chatam Sofer said, that most people learn Torah during the first half of the night. He says, on the contrary, from the Zohar HaKadosh and from the Gemara and other sources, we see that the Chachmei Adorot, and Maran Zichron Bracha used to say in Yerushalayim, Chachmei Porat Yosef used to do the other thing. Most Chachamim in that generation, they used to sleep during the first half of the night. They used to sleep regular. And then they used to wake up at Chatzot and learn until Netz. Huh? Mekubalim do that. You know, even Puskim seem to have done that.
On regular days?
Huh? Yeah, on regular days. So he says that the Chatam Sofer's concern about being Me'orer Kitrug by this form of learning is maybe not so shy. But he does bring, Maran Zichron Chaim in Yabi Omer does say, there are certain sources, Maran Masechet Yoma, that says that it's easier to stay awake during and learn during the first half of the night than to go to sleep. What's more of a Yetzirah? To stay up longer when you're already up or to wake up when you're asleep?
Wake up when you're asleep.
But that wake up when you're asleep is harder. So he says, that's why, and that seems to be the minhag today, that most people do, again, Yechidei Segula, do it the other way. But most people, even when they're learning at night, as you should be, like the Gemara says in Masechet Eruvin Daf Samachei, La Ivre Sihara Ela LeGirsa, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the moon, meaning nighttime only for learning. Most people get their night learning done when? The first half of the night and go to sleep by Chatzot, as opposed to the other way around, and therefore that. Nevertheless, Maran Zichron Bracha says, it is certainly not our minhag. None of Chachmei, Eidot HaMizrach, Sfaradim, North African Chachamim, none of our Chachamim quote this minhag. And therefore, like I said, I start off the shiur, it's not a good idea to bash the minhag because it is quoted by and observed by many, many Jewish communities. But our minhag is not that way. And afuch, on this night, maybe like Avi was saying before, to increase the amount of Kedushah, to counteract the terrible amount of tumah that's being disseminated on this night. Especially on a year like this year, you have the double zechut of Shabbat Kodesh, Torah Kedusha, especially forget about the quantity, but the quality of Torah learned on Shabbat. The Ben Ish Chai famously says that 1 hour of Talmud Torah b'Shabbat is equal to 1,000 weekday hours. Even though, why is that surprising? Because there aren't 1,000 hours in a week. Aval mikol makom, the quality of Torah learning on Shabbat Kodesh is such, and I speak about this all the time, it's so important. People, even people who are Shomer Shabbat, sometimes have a wrong impression of what Shabbat is. They eat and drink, which is obviously mitzvah asim la Torah, of onek Shabbat, the anegit Shabbat, mitzvah, bevadai, to eat, to drink, to sleep. But some people just waste away their entire Shabbat focusing on these physical aspects, and they don't make time for Talmud Torah. A person must make time for Torah learning on three times on Shabbat. Tzarech lada'at. At least three times on Shabbat. I'm not saying how long. Every person, a time during Lil Shabbat, a time during Yom Shabbat, Boker of Shabbat, and a time during the afternoon of Shabbat. Corresponding, just like you eat three times on Shabbat, you have to feed your neshama three times on Shabbat. Limud, at least three times on Shabbat. Lil Shabbat, Boker Shabbat, and Tzahorei Shabbat. You have to make sure to learn during those times. Surah Shlish. A person must make time for learning during those times. Why? Because take advantage. These 1 hour of Talmud Torah Shabbat is equal to 1,000 hours. You know what that means?
You don't have to learn during the week.
So
I always thought the drasha there was that because there aren't 1,000 hours during the week. It's like it's so great, it's so unmeasurable.
Not only that, Kadosh Baruch Hu opens up.
Not like actually trying to tell him. What he meant was unmeasurable.
Listen to this. Kubanim say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu also opens our minds up on Shabbat, so we're able to understand our Torah learning on Shabbat much better than we're able to during the week. During the week, you know, it's an uphill battle. You have to put forth effort. On Shabbat, Yishtabach Shemo, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's like the Matana. That's Chazara on Shabbat is the name of the game. If you're able to do Chazara, that, remember, you want the Chazara to stick. So learn it on Shabbat, because that's when it sticks. Zeh davar meod chashuv. So, there's different minhagim. Nahara, nahara ufashte. Everybody follow their own minhagim, their own poskim, akol beseder. But especially on a night like tonight, tzayich lehagbir bakdusha. To, you know, if everybody, especially tonight when they have all their services, v'zeh, to sit down, nachon onik Shabbat, zminot shel Shabbat v'zeh, but sit and learn. To sit, learn, plug away. Mamash, there's a tremendous amount of kedusha. Most, I would say, a vast majority of the Avodah Zarah that's present in the world today is as a result of Oto Ha'ish. Such a tremendous klipa on the word klipas. Klipas. Yeah. You have to take away the klipas by learning the Torah Kedusha. That's the only thing. And, you know, there's a lot of tumah running around, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us matana tova, ki lekach tov natati lachim torati al ta'azov, to hold on to it. And, you know, אחד המרבה ואחד הממעיט ובלבד שיכוון ליבון השמיים. Person has to be מכוון לשם שמיים, and that is that Hashem will protect.
So then they have a minhag on Shabbat
also? לכאורה. You don't find a chiluk. In the chachamim that bring it down, they're not מכוון. טוב, we'll say something in the parasha, just stay to Mikey.
And?
No, not and.
Stop
recording. Why do you make it so complicated? It's in.